Guys, welcome to this video. I'm sitting down with Eric Klein. Eric.
What's going on, man?
This is fun. This is exciting. I really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
I love you and Tony, your business partner, what you guys are doing in the industry. You guys came in here like out of nowhere, blew the business up, you know, $2.6 million in assignments in your first year.
I know.
Exciting, guys. Really great. And you've kind of looked at the industry and you said, man, we could really do a lot better with our sales processes, how we're interacting with sellers, how we're helping sellers. And so you've just kind of like taken the industry by storm, I think, and putting out a lot of content, really helping people improve those processes. And so I really appreciate you. We've had you on the channel, guys. I'm going to put a link to that video. It was about a year or so ago.
Yeah.
But it's an awesome video and people really loved it because you gave such solid nuggets on how to have these conversations. And what's great about you, Eric, is you can't help but role play. Mm-hmm. Like I can't ever talk to you without you start role playing. You start telling me exactly how you say it to the seller, right?
Yeah.
And it's awesome because it's such second nature to you,
yeah,
that you just instantly can put yourself in that place. And role play is powerful.
Yeah.
It's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah. Especially if you're just getting started, you even have a team. It's something that you constantly have to do.
Yeah.
It's an absolute must.
Because what happens is it's awkward at first.
Yeah.
If you don't come from a sales background, when you start getting on the phones and you start talking to sellers, it feels unnatural, feels awkward. You're embarrassed. You don't know if you're worried what you're going to say. And so role play helps you just start to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And it helps you practice your scripts and all the things. So I hope you recommend this, that get your spouse or somebody, not even in real estate,
have anybody,
that, give them some objections and just practice.
Yes.
And it's anybody. Powerful.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a single guy with a dog at home, literally
role play with the dog.
Role play with the dog.
Yeah.
Because every call you're going to get a new objection possibly,
yeah,
that you've never heard before. And when you get that objection, you're going to want to write that down and role play with, yeah, somebody, spouse, dog, yourself in the mirror. That way, the next time you get on that phone call, you can overcome it.
And then as you get better, find somebody even harder, like somebody that's super, yeah, skeptical, that will actually be kind of like rude. Uh-huh. So now you can practice what that's, yep, like and getting in front of that, because that's going to happen too all 100%. The time.
Yep.
In fact, Eric's agreed to talk about objections,
yeah,
on this call. And this is great because everybody runs into objections. And we're always worried that there's going to be an objection that I don't have the answer to,
mm-hmm,
right? But really, it comes down to like the same three or four or five objections almost every single time,
yep,
with sellers. Would you agree?
I mean, yeah.
There's always a weird one where you're like, I wasn't expecting that objection.
Yes.
But for the most part, people have the same kind of objections. And what happens is, I think, is you're talking to a seller and you think things are going well, but really the seller's just telling you what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes down to some sort of a commitment, then they throw something out there as a blocker, right? Or
yes,
it's kind of like it's not the real concern. And it's like a blow off to, yep, try to get off the phone or whatever's going on, right? And so being able to see through that, help them bring it full circle back around to why we're here. You've got some concerns or some fears. Let's get these out. Let's figure this out. That's a really powerful skill that's going to drastically improve your close ratios. Would you agree?
100%. Yeah. And a lot of times when, like, for objections, in my opinion, Jerry, you can overcome an objection before it's ever in an objection.
Okay.
If, yeah, you ask the right questions.
Yeah. So I've taken meticulous notes. Tony was teasing me because when you spoke last night at the VIP, I literally have two pages of notes.
And
Tony's
away,
like,
man.
Jerry, I love that because you're always learning. You're always learning. And it's true. But like, I wanted to see, as you were role playing through in your presentation,
yeah,
I was looking for the things you were saying, not because it was like, this is a thing that you say that's going to like win the deal, but rather you're setting the tone. Everything you're doing is prepping for the close. Mm-hmm. And so you're already overcoming objections they don't know they have.
Yep.
So they actually never even become objections, or you're prepping it so that when the objection comes, you've gathered enough data,
yep,
to now help overcome the objection.
Yep.
And it's laced into a conversation to where it doesn't feel like it's a pitch or a sales process.
They don't know it's happening.
They don't even know it's happening.
We're talking about the house You see somebody has owned a house for 20 plus years, and I'm going to ask you, you're the homeowner, you know, how long have you and your wife owned the house? You're going to say, well, 23 years. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You don't hear people owning houses 23 years anymore, Jerry.
Yeah.
That's cool. How long have you and your wife been married? You're going to say whatever, 42 years, yeah. Right? There's a reason I ask every one of those questions.
Yeah.
Now I know you, there's the other decision maker.
Yep.
So I don't have to ask, is there another decision maker?
Which is awkward.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not a great sales process to ask, is there another decision maker?
So I ask the question, I know you're married, so I ultimately know your wife is going to have to be a part
of
the
conversation.
The decision. Yeah. After I find that out, I'm not going to immediately say, well, let's get your wife on the phone. I know that has to come, but I've downloaded the data.
Yeah.
And you've told me you guys have been married for whatever amount of years you've said. And so again, I've downloaded the data. I know you probably know what your wife's already thinking right now. I'm also going to ask, who's the one that's really wanting to sell the home? When's the last time you guys have talked about selling the home?
So now you're gathering that they've been having a conversation
yes.
about this. It's not just you want to, she doesn't, or anything like
yep.
that. So that's more data
mm-hmm.
for later when, and the reason why he's sharing this is because one of the top objections is I need to talk to my spouse.
I need to think about it. I need to talk yeah. to my spouse. One and the same.
So what you're doing is you're addressing that objection by gathering the data laced into the conversation you're having mm-hmm. with the seller.
And your delivery is everything.
Everything.
Like you can't just go through and say, hey, Jerry, how long have you been married? How long
yeah.
have you owned the house? Like you're not going to get the answers mm-hmm. you're looking for.
Right.
So the way you have to weave it in to the conversation about, because they're going to think it's all about the property.
Yeah.
I know it's nothing to do with the property. The house gives me the ability to ask questions that I need answers to. I always, when I ask the question, when someone's been married any amount of years over what me and my wife have been married, I'll congratulate them. I'll be like, wow, Jerry, you've been married 40 years. That's amazing. I got to ask you, whether we buy your house or not, how the heck do I get from 12 to 40?
Yeah.
And then I'll laugh. I'll do a little giggle mm-hmm. afterwards.
Yeah. And that's relating now to them.
Yeah.
Right? You're building, you're strengthening that relationship.
You're giving me advice now, right?
Yeah.
Now we're talking to one another. Mm-hmm. I'm not just some guy that's trying to ask. I'm actually asking you for advice.
Yeah.
Which is powerful.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell, you know, they're going to normally say, just always say yes to the wife or do yeah. whatever, right? Uh-huh. And then after they would say something like that, when's the last time, like at dinner or pillow talk, you guys have actually mentioned you want to sell this property?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the last time they talked about it.
Yeah.
And whatever that is, again, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks
yeah.
ago, two nights at dinner.
Yeah.
Two nights ago at dinner, boom, downloaded. And right. I know this is all information that when I ask them to do the deal, to sign the contract,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to send you an offer that's going to get brought up.
Right.
And now I have multiple pieces of information.
And how are you using now all this gathered information that you strategically picked up through
yep.
the conversation? When they say, you know what, I need to think about it and talk to my wife, how are you now overcoming that objection?
So my first reaction always is, okay.
Yeah.
Understood.
That's a good idea.
So Jerry, I completely understand you'd want to think about it. And the last thing I want you to do is make an impulse decision.
Yeah.
We've been on the phone now 45 minutes, Jerry, and you've told me, right, just through the conversations we've had, you and your wife have been thinking about selling the house for a year and a half. You said she's the one that's kind of pushing you to do this. And two nights ago, you brought it up at dinner. So you've already made the decision, Jerry. You're selling the house.
Let's be real. Yeah.
Yeah. So you needing to think about it, I've been doing this long enough. what have I not done? Do you not like me? Do you not trust me? And I say that to them.
Yeah.
Do you not like me? Do you not trust the company? Is there something I have not explained to you? Mm-hmm. Is it price? Because thinking about it, I don't think is on the table right now. So while you have me on the phone, let's address it.
Yeah.
And then I shut up. Because I've listed, do you not like me? Do you not trust me? Is it the price? Do you not understand the process? I've named all those off. And then I say, so let's talk about that. And then I'd be quiet.
And that's powerful because you're assuming that you've done something wrong, not that they're wrong in some way.
Yeah.
And if you've done your job right, they should feel comfortable enough to actually bring up their real concern,
mm-hmm.
which might be price or it might be whatever it is.
Right.
But not the, I got to think about it.
No, they don't have.
Because you're creating an environment where they're now feeling like, you know what? Maybe I'll just tell this guy, I got another offer that's $5,000 higher, and mm-hmm. I just didn't want to say that because I don't want to offend you. But since here now we're here, let's just talk about it. And you're like, great, let's talk about it, right?
Yeah.
So you're bringing through and you're resolving those objections, knowing ahead of time that those are always the objections people have, so then you can overcome them before their objections.
Yeah.
Really.
I look at them at the way I try and like teach my team or people that I'm, they're obstacles you know that are going to come.
Yep.
So why not knock the obstacles down
mm-hmm.
before you ever have to get to them?
Yeah, I do a couple of things too that I'm not sure if you guys do this, but we are very careful about the language we use too with our sellers to lessen the where they're intimidated by this commitment. So we don't say sign a contract. We say approve agreement.
We say offer letter.
Offer letter.
And once they've signed it, then it becomes a contract.
Now it's a contract. Legally binding. Thank you for signing that legally binding contract.
But we literally, at the end, when we're wrapping it up, now I just want to let you know, Mrs. Seller, we have entered into a legally binding contract. This is not an offer letter anymore.
Yeah, but that's really powerful to say, you know, approve this agreement or here's our offer letter.
Yes.
You know, because instantly if you use the word contract, it evokes attorney.
I agree.
Contract evokes attorney. So then whenever my team, we don't do it anymore, but whenever they would say the word contract, we automatically introduce the objection of, I need my attorney to review the contract.
Yeah.
And so when we stopped calling them a contract, that almost went away.
Yeah.
Not entirely, but a lot of that went away.
I have another little tip that we, and it's just a small one, whether it works on all of them or not, we plant the seed, right? It's, we're getting ready to send you an offer letter, Jerry. And I don't say this to insult your intelligence, so please don't take this the wrong way, but it's written in third grade English. It's literally written for like me to understand.
Yeah.
So, because I know attorney could get brought up.
Yeah.
I use third grade English. It's written for guys like me. I'm not calling you stupid. It's written for guys like me to understand. So it's just another little thing.
Yeah.
You don't use contract, you use an offer letter. It's written in third grade English. It's trying to get that attorney objection completely out of the way.
All this does is it's talking about what we've already agreed upon.
Yes.
You know, and what I'll do is when to also overcome that, I'll say to them, look, we're going to send you over this offer letter. And when you get it, we're going to open it up and we're actually going to go through it because I want to make sure you know what everything is. It's really easy to understand.
Yep.
And in their mind, they're thinking it's also overcoming the attorney objection because it's like, well, if I'm looking at it and we're going over it and you're answering any question, what could I need an attorney for since we're going to actually make this super easy and simple to understand?
Yep.
Right.
And I need an attorney to look at it a lot of times is complete fluff.
99% of the time, no attorney is going to look at anything.
They're not going to look at it. It all comes down to do they like you, trust you, and want to do business with you? Your job is not done if they're still saying that.
Yeah. So it's really interesting too. One of the things that I'll do is if we get stuck on an objection and I try to do some of this, but let's say that I can't quite get them off of that,
mm-hmm.
is then I'll say, okay, I can't keep beating on this objection because now I'll start to create animosity.
Yes.
And so I'll just leave it alone and we'll come back to it and then I'll move on. Right. And then we'll go back around and we'll go on to the other things. And then what I'm hoping is I'm hoping that I can do some other things that'll maybe solidify the relationship, build stronger trust. Mm-hmm. And then by the time we come back around, that objection's gone anyway.
Yep.
Because we've just done some more work to build relationship.
Yes.
So like Tyler came with me and did the video, but we went and did a live seller, which I never do, but it just happened to be right in Puerto Rico, this deal I'm turning into a hotel. And I meet the guy and he had this objection and he pulled up the, I need to talk to my wife and my buddies. So I was like, what do you think your buddies are going to say? I was super curious on that one. But he was stuck on, I didn't quite know what, but he was stuck on the down payment because it was a creative finance. Uh-huh. I was offering to buy it with some money down. And so I let it alone. And then we went around. He showed me the property some more. And then we came back around and I did this. I said, and I had I was speaking Spanish to him because I speak Spanish the whole time. But now I didn't want to speak Spanish. So I turned to my guy, David. He's like my personal assistant guy. And I said, David, I want you to say to him that I've got an offer that I'm only going to offer right now. It's completely outside of what I normally do. It's not in the parameters of what I can do for a deal, but I'm going to offer this right now. And he has to say yes or no, because it's off the table if he doesn't want to do it. Cause really? he had that, I got to talk to my wife and buddies
thing.
Yeah. Which is not true. And so then I offered him 100,000 down instead of 50,000 down. And he instantly was like, if you'll do that, I'll agree right now to this deal. And he stuck out his hand. He's like, let's shake on it. And we shook on it right then and there.
No wife or buddies involved.
No more. The wife or buddies had no say whatsoever in the deal. Yeah. Yeah. But I knew at the time I want to do this, but I'm not ready yet. I haven't won this person over yet. Yep. To my side.
Yeah.
He doesn't like and know and trust me enough yet.
Yeah.
So but I got to do some more
the
work.
Property.
Got him talking more, did more rapport building, asked him questions, still doing all the other sales process stuff, mm-hmm. but then came back to the objection. And that was a little ballsy because I don't know if that would have worked, but mm-hmm. it did it. It was enough to do. It was kind of like, you know how you put people on hold for a minute?
Yes.
And then you come back and then you put them on hold again.
Yes.
And then when you come back, you say, listen, I'm really actually surprised. My underwriting team, they're actually willing to pay more than what I thought they were going to pay. Mm-hmm. And what you're now telling the seller is like, dude, this is kind of outside the parameters a little bit. This is a little special for you.
Yeah.
And it's doing sort of the same kind of thing. You're reintroducing a part of your offer that is special and unique. And, you know, another thing that Eric does, and this is just stuff I'm learning from you that's fascinating. I'm teaching your process instead of you teaching it.
But I love it.
It's great because it's, you'll tell me if I'm right or wrong about it.
I love it.
But normally you try to use like, we'll pay the closing fees, commissions, the benefits of a fast cash offer. Mm-hmm. You use that as a selling feature. And what you do is you don't even talk about that. And then you add it on as like a bonus.
Well, they're just so used to hearing.
Yeah.
Like my whole philosophy is, how can we not sound like the last
five dudes they talked to?
That's it.
Yeah.
Cause it's real easy. If you say one thing to trigger that last phone call, they automatically put you in that group. And mm-hmm. like you are, every time they say hello, we always have an uphill battle. Right.
Yeah.
And if I can separate or all of it, the way I try to teach anybody, even the seasoned guys.
Mm-hmm.
Our biggest competition are the phone calls before us. Like it makes this really, really difficult. Yeah. Like how you were saying, the guy was saying, let me talk to my wife or my buddies. You heard it. You acknowledged it. You let it be and you just kept going with the process.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we'll keep this on here in the States, right? Most people probably aren't wholesaling hotels in Puerto Rico. When they say that, they're saying it because of every other phone call.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with you. They're saying right now, I need to think about it. Like maybe they really do need to think about how the phone call's going right now.
Yeah.
And that just, it's putting in the work. It's asking the right questions.
Yep.
At the end of the day, when you ask them to sign a contract, they are making a massive commitment, especially if you are virtually wholesaling. Like when I first came into this industry, it kind of blew my mind. People were calling people out of the blue, getting them to sign a contract to sell their house.
Over the phone.
They've never even seen a picture of them. Half these sellers aren't even looking up their websites. And like, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, but when I came into the industry, Jerry, with that mindset, I'm like, man, this is a really big task to ask anybody to do. So I was like, by the time I make someone an offer, do they trust me enough, even when they put their signature on the contract, that the house is going to close mm-hmm. and that they're really going to get their money in the bank?
Yeah.
When we say it's going
right.
to be there.
That's the concern. Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, like, it's not scalable to go on appointment. But if you could go on appointment and you wanted to run your business that way, I would destroy this industry if I went on appointment because man. Now I'm belly to belly, face to face.
Like,
and I can connect with someone. I can look them in the eye. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not scalable though. And it's not conducive to lifestyle to go on appointment. You drop everything on appointment. And so we don't do it if we want to really scale and grow our business. So then we try to do this on the phone, but then we think we can just get on the phone and throw offers at people mm-hmm. without really doing anything else. And then we're like, why isn't it working? Well, dude, you're asking someone to sell their $200,000 house and they've just talked to you for 5 minutes.
Doesn't work.
Like that's not going to happen.
Even if you give them their number.
Yeah.
I want 200 grand and you give it to them. If you go too fast.
Yes.
You're not going to get the deal.
Yeah. So you've talked about some of these objections, how you build in. So I think what's a great idea is think about, guys, there's an objection and then maybe there's a way to solve that objection, but to then reverse engineer it and then build into your processes and your scripts.
Yes.
Overcoming the objection before it arises is one of the skills that you do. So there's I got to think about it. I got to talk to my spouse. I got an attorney to review it. Are there any other big ones sticking out?
Do you have another offer?
Oh,
I want to know that one.
I've got a, yeah. Okay. Or they're
going to tell you.
Yeah.
Why not get it out of the way?
Yeah. What other offers have you received? Yeah.
Nonchalantly at some point during your conversation.
Yep.
If you've been thinking about it for a year and a half, you just talked about it in the last week. Have you had any other offers by chance?
Yeah.
Or you want a yes or a no?
Yeah.
Does the offer matter? Yeah. Do you want to ask them how much? Yeah. But you don't want that, whatever they say, they could be lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want it to disrupt or get your mind thinking something different when all you're doing is trying to ask.
Like you'll follow up and ask, do you have that in writing or was that a verbal?
Yeah.
Cause that matters, right? Cause people throw out numbers and.
Yes.
You know, it's not in writing. So you'll ask those questions. Another thing that you do, and I do this as well, is we never hang up the phone and then send the contract later or send the contract and then try to get back on because they'll take your contract and shop it.
Always.
Yeah. And then you just lose them too. Like they're not there now. So you'll talk to them while the contract's being sent.
And then we say this, Jerry, real quick, my underwriters have sent you the offer letter. Go ahead and pull your email up real mm-hmm. quick. You should have it in your inbox. The only response they should give you is, I don't have it yet.
I don't see it. Yeah.
It's because you haven't sent it. And you know they're looking at their email.
Very cool. Yeah. Did you guys catch that? Really
just
cool.
Just another little.
And then,
little
then you thing. Send it.
Then
and
we
then
send,
they're
you
like,
you know
boop.
What?
There it is.
I was looking at a different one. Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah.
They've actually
takes a
sent
minute.
It.
So now pull it up. Let's go through this.
Yes.
And you're looking to get that commitment right there on the phone.
Yes.
Not hanging up that phone until they've done it.
Yep.
Yep.
At the bottom of every page on our offer letter, there is a initial spot. Mm-hmm. So when we get done with the first page, I don't review the entire agreement and then ask them to come back up. We'll review the first page. You see that little initial box right there, Jerry? Go ahead and click that. I want to gauge whether or not they're going to initial something without reading the entire agreement.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get an initial on the bottom of that first page, they're done.
Yep.
If they say, you know what? Let's review the rest of this. You know, you still have work to do.
Yep. You're not there yet.
You're not there yet.
Yep.
So
that's great. And so then you get them through, they'll do the contract. And then one other thing real quick before we wrap up is once they've signed that does not mean your deal's done.
No. Furthest thing from it.
It doesn't even mean it's got nothing to do with your cash buyer either. Like you've got a seller now who just made a commitment, but you better stay engaged with that seller.
Yes.
Heavily. You better help them understand the next steps. You better be doing lots of follow-up with them. If they don't hear from you, then they'll sell it to someone else out from under you. Not because they're trying to backdoor you, but they just thought you left, or they don't know what's happening.
100%.
They're in the dark. This is a big thing. And it's a scary thing. So some of those things are really important to manage that seller all the way to the closing.
Yep. And just because I have them under contract doesn't mean Jerry hasn't pulled the same list. And you just so happen to call Mrs. Seller 5 days after she signed my now contract.
Legally binding.
Legally binding. And she does not tell you she has a contract with me.
Yeah.
And you do a little bit better of a job than I did. You spend more time with her. You offer a little bit more money.
Yeah.
And now she signs one with you. Now you don't know she has one. I don't know. We're both headed to the finish line. She now goes.
Different title companies.
But she likes you more and she quits answering my phone calls.
Yeah.
So after the contract is signed, that's when the real, real work has to start. Like you now better have that seller in your back pocket until the closing table to where you can get paid on all the hard work you did to get that deal.
Yeah. Some great tips. Love that. So guys, I hope you got some real nuggets here about objections. This was really awesome, Eric. I love how it's all a very scientific process, right? There's you guys aren't just half-assing this in your business. You're really thinking through, what does this process really need to look like? How do we have these conversations, quality conversations, help a seller, lead them through on this decision that's good for them.
Yes.
If it's good for them, that's good for them, good for you. Everybody's going to win here. And where this is a process that you can, it's repeatable.
Yes.
Right? You can duplicate it, you can repeat it, and you can scale it.
Yes.
And guys, if you haven't yet, be sure to also watch some of the videos we've done with your partner, Tony, on the Dispo side. But you guys are an amazing team, but you also are doing some training in this area, some sales training on helping people not just like build out a sales team, which is important, but really, if you're working on your first deal, how to actually close on the phone when you don't have any sales experience.
You don't need any sales experience. There's a blueprint and a script, a 9-page script that helps you from hello to goodbye. As long
and everything
as you
in
can
between.
Read, you can get a deal.
And you can hustle and practice.
Yes.
Because you got to practice this. I've seen your stair steps. It's these 5-step process. It literally takes you from the hello on the phone to the here's what's going to happen next, Mr. Seller, to get to closing and everything in between.
Yeah.
Right. And it's laid out really well, guys. I would highly recommend, I don't care if you've come from a lot of sales background and you've been doing this a long time. I literally hearing Eric go through his sales process, and this isn't even your training. This was like a 45 minute thing. I have like 3 pages of notes in my phone. From just the stuff that you shared, that was just so good. So
appreciate that.
So anyway, we'll put a link in the description if you guys want to learn more. Check that out. Also, we'll put Eric your social media stuff down there because guys, you know your team. You guys are putting out some really awesome stuff in like Instagram and all social media places. So start learning and following Eric and get in his world. And just thanks again for all
awesome,
you do, man. Thanks for being a real voice to the industry and bringing such quality to the wholesaling industry.
Thank you so much, man. It's an honor to be here.
It's awesome. Great. So guys, if you haven't, be sure to subscribe to the channel and we'll see you on the next video.